This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The 114th Congress will begin next year. West Michigan Congressman Fred Upton will be returning for his 15th term in the U.S. House representing Southwest Michigan. He's also chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and he joins us. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
We're also joined today by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon.
And Alex, first question for Fred Upton.
Fred, I'd like to talk a little bit about your position on net neutrality. I know President Obama has called for the FCC to claim authority over the internet services in the same fashion that it regulates phone companies. Do you support that, or should service providers be allowed to charge for a so-called fast lane?
Yeah, you know, a couple things. The internet has flourished because it's been without regulation. In fact, if you add it all up, the internet companies are in essence spending about $50 billion a year on advances that we all as consumers use. And as we find, as we get on our own iPads or whatever device that we have, if we don't like that particular system, guess what? We walk with our feet. We find a different one. So it is flourished without regulation. Actually, if you look at some of the dispute that's going on right now between the president and the chairman of the FCC, Tom Wheeler, they actually have a fairly visible dispute going on right now. The president announced when he was over in China what he wanted to do to regulate this like the phone companies. Tom Wheeler, the chair of the FCC, reminded the president publicly that they are an independent agency. Yes, the commissioners are appointed and confirmed by the Senate. We're actually going to have a hearing in 2 weeks, second week in December, with all five commissioners. I know that this is going to be a pretty active debate. We haven't seen what the regulations are going to be yet. It'll be something that we have direct oversight on. There's a real division of Republicans and Democrats in support and in opposition to this thing. So we'll see where it takes us. But, you know, from the start, I've said we don't need to regulate the internet. We ought to let the private sector move forward. Yes, maybe there's some room for some compromise along the way, but I think we're going to really look forward to that hearing.
I want to ask you about President Obama's executive action when it comes to immigration. What's the proper response of Republicans? You've stated that you don't agree with what he did, but what's the proper response for Republicans in Congress in reaction to that?
Well, you know, he did say in his, so I watched his remarks last week, and he did say, pass a bill. Well, he's right. We need to pass a bill. That's actually one of the few bills that the Senate took action on where the House did not in this last Congress. You've heard me say a lot, Gordon, the current system is broken. By doing nothing, it only perpetuates a broken system. And it's really broken on everyone. I mean, the folks that are here that are undocumented, the businesses, large and small, whether it be a fruit and vegetable farm, whether it be a big company like Stryker or Pfizer, it needs to be fixed. And it needs to have, I think, a bipartisan fix, and one that we were getting mighty close to actually dealing with until we had a very sudden loss of the Republican Majority Leader Eric Cantor when he lost in the primary in the early part of the summer. That took the wind out of the sail to actually get something done. I would note that the Washington Post, even in the last couple weeks, has said, wait for the new Congress to come in. We heard from Chuck Grassley, the incoming new chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He was on the record saying a few weeks ago, we can do this, and we need to do this, and you know, wait for the Congress to take some action.
Although the Senate did pass a bill,
right. But they realized that at the end of the day, because of the Cantor loss and some other things, it wasn't going to happen this year. But we have to take this back up early next year. We have to take the president's urging, pass a bill. Yes, we need to do it. Executive orders can be changed from one day to the next. Question about the constitutionality of it. It takes a while for the process to work. I'm convinced that we can get there in a bipartisan way. I would say that it is probably tougher because of the president's actions that he took than otherwise it might have been. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't stop trying. That doesn't mean that we can't actually pass a number of bills, whether it be dealing with border security, and I think there's universal support for that. I would note that Candace Miller, our former Secretary of State here in Michigan a number of years ago and now a colleague, actually passed a bill out of the Homeland Security Committee with every Republican and every Democrat supporting it. So border security, dealing with Dreamers, helping with our companies, particularly international ones that really need a high level of educated worker for the jobs that they do, dealing with the undocumented workers that are here, and dealing with the ag sector, all have to be pieces that, that we can focus on.
You're right. Many times you've sat there and said that you support comprehensive immigration reform. You've also sat there many times and said that you believed it could be done sometime in the near future.
No, I still...
The Senate bill sat there for over a year. Yeah. The House, could you not have taken that bill up and changed it, amended it, got it to a conference committee and worked out differences?
We could have, to answer, you know, the way that you put
it. You could always do that.
Yeah, a good English teacher, you could have. I don't know that it would have happened. And the plan was that we take, instead of having one big bill, 1,000 pages, whatever it was, you deal with the individual components of it. And even Chuck Schumer, a fairly influential Democratic U.S. Senator from New York, said in September, the House approach of dealing these bills by bills, we can get it done that way. So it was, you know, we had Eric Cantor's loss. We had the rise of ISIS. All of a sudden, there was, you know, a number of different issues that we need to deal with that, that crowded the calendar shortly, really, before the election that, that really took the foot off the gas in terms of trying to get something done. So now we have a new Congress. It's an issue that's not gone away. Republicans, particularly me and others, have said, you know, now with the Republican Senate and the House, we do need to govern. This needs to be one of the top priorities that we focus on in the next Congress.
Alex.
I'd like to talk a little bit about your recently established 21st Century Cures initiative. You said it's going to aim to bridge the gap between the pace of medical research and the government agencies that eventually oversee the development of those drugs. Could you tell me how that's going to happen?
This has really been a great venture that we've been on in a bipartisan way. So for the last year, I and a number of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, have we've had about two dozen or so formal subcommittee hearings and roundtables, trying to really listen to all of the stakeholders that are out there, whether it be here, the dean of the Western Med School in terms of what it means for research, whether it be companies like Pfizer and Stryker, you know, pharmaceutical and device manufacturers, whether it be the head of the NIH, and he was here in Kalamazoo this last month as well, participating in the round table, the head of the FDA, Margaret Hamburg, whether it be the disease groups, cancer, Parkinson's, diabetes, Alzheimer's, name them. And what our mission has been the last year is to really sit down and listen to them to see what obstacles they have seen firsthand that need to be eliminated so that we can develop and expedite faster approval of drugs and devices. We had a number of venture capitalists come in and testify. And of course, they're often the ones that are providing that initial dollars, hoping that there's an investment here at the end, knowing that a successful drug today is always seems to be more than $1 billion in terms of research and obviously years to get it through that process. And we heard from the venture capitalists that they're really not looking so much at the U.S. anymore. Half of them, 50% of them from 5 or 6 years ago are now going overseas. So what is it that they're doing overseas that we're not doing here? And as I took my health team to look at the University of Michigan after we came here to Western, I went over to Michigan and kicked the tires there in terms of looking at some of their medical research as well as device research as well. We're hearing about devices literally every single day that are, you know, they're going overseas and they're not coming here and denying Americans access to those. And of course, secondhand is if you can do them here, that means you're going to have the jobs here too. So we're losing those jobs as well. So we've done all these hearings. We're probably going to have one more huge meeting this next month in December. And early next year, we're going to be preparing, we're starting to write now a draft bill, discussion document, I guess you could call it, that we hope to unveil by the second or third week in January. Again, then sitting down with a lot of these different stakeholders. What did we miss? You know, help us. And then move that formally introduce the bill as a piece of legislation and then formally move it through the Energy and Commerce Committee before the end of March. We've had the buy-in not only from the Republican and Democratic leadership, so Eric Cantor was one of the big supporters of this, former majority leader, but Kevin McCarthy, who took his place, is solidly on board. Steny Hoyer, the number two Democrat, solidly on board. Sylvia Burwell, new Secretary of HHS, solidly on board, and the administration has been very helpful. But our goal is to actually get a bill signed into law by the president before the end of next year. We want to get it out of the what I call the funny season. You know, politics sort of runs everything here to a degree, and with the presidential politics, they take all the air out of the balloon. And this will be an opportunity, hopefully, for us to jump ahead of that to really get a very strong bipartisan piece of legislation through that's going to impact the lives of, frankly, everybody in the world. It'll be a very positive piece to get done. And we're doing it deliberately. We're looking, you know, again, using our ears before we write this, and we'll be glad to unveil the real contents of this as we move forward in the next 6-7 weeks.
We're down to just the last couple minutes here. As the current rules stand in the House for Republicans, you can serve one more term, this upcoming term, as chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee.
We could always get
correct?
A waiver.
Okay.
Yeah, under Republican rules, the chairman can serve 6 years. So I was just reelected by my colleagues to serve a third term. So that's 3 times 2 is 6. So it's unclear what – I don't know exactly where you're heading, but I have a suspicion.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
There are a lot of – let me say there are a lot of former chairmen that continue to serve, whether it be – and particularly on the A committees. Joe Barton chaired the Energy and Commerce Committee of – you know, for a lot of – he was elected before me. He still serves on our committee. He's chairman emeritus. We gave him a title. He's on all 6 subcommittees. John Dingell until – you know, the really this year, former chairman, he's retiring. His wife is going to replace him in the Congress mm-hmm. from Michigan. So the Democrats don't have the same rules as we do. This is a self-imposed rule. We allow for waivers. Paul Ryan served, 8 years as chairman of ranking on the Budget Committee. He got a waiver, and now, of course, he's going to chair the Ways and Means Committee. So a lot of things happen in the next 2 years. We'll see what happens.
Okay, but you know that the idea that you are coming to the end of your time as Energy and Commerce Committee 2 years from now, chairman, 2 years from now, has led some people to wonder how much longer does Fred Upton want to serve in Congress?
Well, we'll see. We're not ready to make a decision anytime soon.
One way or another.
Correct. I've got a family. I'm looking forward to the next 2 years. This is... You know, for me, I've always been a governing Republican, working with Republicans and Democrats to get things done. I'm very excited about the opportunities for this next year. We'll see how things go. And, you know, probably about a year from now, we'll begin to reflect on, you know, what would be another 2 years after that. And that's been the normal process. I mean, we just got out of a, you know, every election, no elections are easy. You run either unopposed or full speed ahead. We're glad this one is behind us. We're looking to the future. And as we have done every 2 years in the odd year, next year, at the end of next year, we'll start to think about, you know, what's the next 2 years after that going to look like. And we'll make a decision then.
And we'll ask you about it then.
You can.
All right. West Michigan Congressman Fred Upton, as always, thank you for your time.
You bet.
And thanks again to Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.